soon, Susie, yeah.
Well, good morning, Mom.
Good morning, dear, how are you doing?
I'm not too bad, I'm feeling a little bit of time.
That's great.
All right. Well, good morning, everyone, on this fourth Sunday in Lent.
Morning, Pastor.
So good to have you here with us today. And it's going to be a little bit different today, and you're going to see how it's going to be different, but I think different in a good way, especially when we get to today's gospel reading. But I really feel like today's scriptural readings, the message, everything else is of, let me use a big word, I've got my four grandkids here. It is going to be of tantamount importance. Add that to your vocabulary. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for today, the sun shining, but even more so, you're shining in our hearts and lives because you love us so much. So please let today be a time where we grow in our relationship with you, and you just give us insight and a greater knowledge and heart for you. We thank you, dear Father, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's rise and sing together just the first four verses of Christ the Life of All the Living, number 420.
Christ the life of all the living, Christ the death of death, our foe, who thyself for me once gave to the darkest depths of woe, through thy sufferings, death and death, high eternal life inherit, thousand thousand they shall be, dearest Jesus, unto thee. Thou, O God, hast taken on thee bonds and stripes of cruel wrong, pain and scorn heaped up upon thee. O thou sinless Son of God, thus didst thou my soul from the bonds of sin forever. Thousand, thousand they shall be, dearest Jesus, unto thee. Thou hast borne the slimy only, that my wounds might all be whole. Thou hast suffered sad and lonely, rest to
Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We praise you, Almighty God, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. We know that full well. Search us, O God, and know our hearts. Test us and know our anxious thoughts. See if there are any offensive ways in us, and lead us in the way everlasting through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins,
God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Take a few seconds and just silently confess unto the Lord how you need Him. O gracious God, we confess that by nature we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a servant of the word, I declare to you the forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right now, we're going to sing On My Heart and Print Your Image, and this is really a prayer unto the Lord. Isaiah 12 is really the word joy. It's got the whole concept exuding from it as far as how fortunate we are that the Lord loves us. And then a passage that even someone referred to earlier in our Bible class is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this gives us the basis for why we have so much joy, regardless of the external situation.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first reading is Isaiah 12, 1 to 6. In the day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord, although you were angry with me. Your anger has turned away, and you have confronted me. Comforted me, not confronted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against it. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, and so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, if we could please have the young people come forward now. Come on, young people. You put your bulletins down and come on up. Oh, Asher, you have to go to the bathroom? Okay, come on up. Come on. Ani, you too. Come on. Don't be shy. Oh, he's getting something. Okay, come on up. Oh, that's okay. Yeah, leave that right there. Ooh, that's a nice thing to get during the service. Okay, now, you kids know what this is right here? Do you know what this is right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it?
The thing we spent 3 hours on last night.
Yeah, it was a good 3 hours or so last night. We spent on this whole Monopoly thing from Safeway. And the tickets spread out all over. Thank you, Brenda, for a zillion tickets. I'm sure that got us at least an extra hour and a half than we could have had. But anyway, we had a blast. It was a lot of fun. Just to let everybody know, these are my 4 grandkids. Oh, give me hugs, everybody. I need a hug. Oh, you better believe it. Man, you're hugging like 3 people at once, Asher. I didn't even know that was possible. But anyway, we have had a blast this whole week, and this was perfect timing for this because I probably have... I don't think I'm going to make it in the Guinness Book of World Records, but in Lincoln County, I probably have more different Monopoly games, and yes, there are loads of different Monopoly games than anybody else in the county, and if you know somebody who has a lot, I'd love to compare notes with them. And I don't know how many Monopoly, I think, didn't we play like 10 different Monopoly games, 10 or 11? Still have a couple we couldn't get to, we didn't have time. But anyway, they've been here since Monday, been so excited, playing a bunch of games, having a bunch of fun. But this was perfect timing because it's Safeway, and I do not work for Safeway. They don't give me a cut to advertise for them, which they should. Is they have this Monopoly thing. You get the tickets right here, and then lo and behold, I wasn't aware of how complex this whole thing is.
Oh my.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying I wouldn't have done it if I would have known ahead of time what I was getting into, but I would have had some doubts. But nonetheless, you get your tickets, you put them here, and then you can win prizes. Now, didn't we win some prizes?
We won $5.
Whoa.
Did you?
Yeah, and that $5 one took like 4 tickets to get. But didn't we get some instants? Do you remember the instant stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, like
$4.
The waffles, and there was some other stuff. I can't remember now what.
A donut
or a bagel. I wanted that one. But anyway. And some what?
Canned fruit.
Frozen vegetables. Wow, I'm getting hungry just thinking about all this good stuff. So the thing is, this looks very calm, but what you do when you get this, remember, there are a couple parts to the ticket. This might have the instant winner on it, but the other part has like 4 of these little things that we tore up, especially with all the tickets that Brenda gave to us. That was so much fun. By the way, everybody say thank you, Brenda, for all the tickets. Yeah, really cool. And Dory was so nice because she gave aquarium tickets. Dory's right over there. Dory, raise your hand. Not everybody, yeah. Thank you, Dory, for all the aquarium tickets. Kids had a blast with all that. So nonetheless, you know what we were working on? And I didn't want to tell you because I wanted to be a big secret today. One of these here And these are virtually impossible to win, folks, these things. We got the $5 one where we had to get four things. I didn't want to tell you this. See, I was telling them all, okay, you know what? Somebody's got to win that $1 million cash prize. I figured it might as well be us. Or the $1 million vacation home. I mean, that was, we didn't want that. We wanted the $1 million cash. You don't want to fiddle with the home, but I'd take it, wouldn't you guys?
Yeah.
And we said, I told him ahead of time, if we win the $1 million, you have to split it with me. And then, in fact, what we did was, let's forget that. Everything we get, we're going to split, okay? So we pooled all our resources together. You should have seen the dining room table. It was a complete disaster. And we're loving every minute of it. I didn't want to tell you this, but on the one, we had a couple different of these boards going at the time. I think three of them going at a time to see who has what. And you had to pull together to get as much as you can. And there was one of them here. Let's see, what was it? Yeah, the $10,000 cash one. And we were really close on that one. And everybody, oh, I got another one. I got another ticket. Is that it? No. Well, I'm going to let you know something. I had that ticket. The fourth and final ticket for the $10,000 cash one. But I didn't want to tell anybody that I had the ticket because I wanted it to be a surprise at church tomorrow. You have to go potty? Okay. Your mom can take you now. Asher, you have my special permission to leave right now. Please, fast. So the thing is, you could share the rest of this with me. We had 10,000 bucks, and I knew we were going to get a big one, not just a little cheapo $5 thing. But guess what happened? I lost the ticket.
You lost it?
Right here. This was the one. I lost our $10,000 that we were all going to split. So do you know what I did this morning when I discovered that I lost all those, this ticket, and I lost 10,000 bucks after all that effort? What would you do if you lost the ticket? And you kids are really good at losing stuff and forgetting stuff. What would you do? This is not rocket science here. What would you do if you lost the $10,000 ticket?
Cry.
You're just gonna say, oh, too bad I lost the $10,000 bucks, big deal. No, what are you gonna do? Ani, what are you gonna do if you lost the ticket? What are you gonna do?
I don't know.
You don't know? Ender? Definitely, I was crying. But what did I do after the crying?
Try again?
Yeah, I try again, and I'm looking for that lousy ticket. Now it's in the house somewhere. And do you know what I did this morning? Because I lost the ticket and 10,000 bucks. I went in the trash can. And I was going through all the tickets, and I go, no, where's that ticket? I feel terrible. The kids are going to hate me forever, losing 10,000 bucks. And I found it. And do you know how good I felt after that? I didn't lose a ticket. It was lost. But now it's found. So as long as you have those three other tickets, we can get the $10,000. No, there were five on the $10,000 one? Okay, the four other tickets. So as long as you have the four other tickets that we have, this was the tough one, because they always have a toughie to get. You get plenty of, do you have the four other tickets?
Maybe it's the board that my mom kept, but
you throw them all away. Okay, we better. You can't go home directly. They're going back home to Reading right after this. So you gotta go back home. We gotta find those other four tickets. We got $10,000, and I'll split it with you. just telling you something right now. This wasn't the winning ticket. I was kidding. But if it would have been, I would have been really excited. But if you would have lost your tickets, I would have been really bummed. But you know what we do? We go looking for them. And you're not going home until, in fact, I'd say if you have the church service right now, let's all of us just go look for your tickets. No, I'm just kidding. But the point is this. How exciting. But if you lose something, you go looking for it. And when you find it, how do you feel? You feel good. You feel great, don't you? Well, if you get a hold, if you understand what we're talking about here, you are definitely going to understand today's gospel reading and today's message. So the Lord be with you. You guys be ready for our reading, okay? All right, you may back to the seat. Anthony and Andrew, be ready for the reading. Now, we're going to do things a little bit differently for our gospel reading. As you can tell, as it's printed in the bulletin, it is really long. So we are all going to stay seated during the gospel reading. We'll rise for the Great Confession of Faith with the Creed, to be sure. But there's method to the madness here. Normally, and we love having you two visitors here today, both of you. Normally, we rise and read together out loud the gospel reading. It's too long for that. So what we're going to do is we have different parts of different people who will be doing the reading. So when it's your time for a part, those four of you who are helping me out, and I really appreciate it, you'll just stand up and say your part, and then that'll be that. Nice and easy, okay? So, and before we get to the actual gospel reading, I need to let you know a little bit so we can get the most out of this reading. Look at verses 1 and 2, the first paragraph. There are tax collectors who were despised by the people of the day. Everybody here knows who Bernie Madoff is, right? Well, these guys are worse than Bernie Madoff is, who ripped off hundreds of millions of dollars from people. And these guys, he did something really bad. These people were looked as traitors, and the sinners were the people who really did horrible things in society. And we notice that they were there to hear Jesus. And Jesus was more than willing to let them be there. But the Pharisees, who were the most dedicated group of believers in the day, of Jews at the day, and the teachers of the law, also known as the scribes, who were really smart and very religious, they were griping, saying, "Huh, this man, this Jesus, welcomes these sinners, these notoriously awful sinners, and eats with them?" And then Jesus told a parable. And a parable is what? Say it with me. An early story with a heavenly meaning. Good. But you'll notice we skip from verse 3 to 11. What happened to the other verses, verses 4 to 10? Because we're focusing not on that passage, but this one. Okay? And what happens is, in the next few verses, verses 3 to 7, he tells a parable, an early story with a heavenly message, a story about what? About a shepherd who has 100 sheep, which is a pretty good number, but one of them is gone. So instead of just hanging around the 99, he goes after the sheep, the little lamb that was lost, and he finds the little lamb. He gets that little lamb and he finds it, and it's all tangled up and things and lost. And it's not a very smart little lamb. And it's going up, and he saves the little lamb's life, finds it. It's probably caught in some bushes somewhere or whatever. And he puts the little lamb on his shoulders, and he's so excited when he comes back. "Oh, I lost my..." And he tells everybody, "The little lamb was lost, but I found him." And then Jesus says, in the same way. When one of these supposed notorious sinners repents, turns to God, all of heaven is rejoicing. And then he tells another parable about a gal, and this is to be very inclusive. He talked about a male shepherd. Now he's got a female villager. And she's got this whole collection of what's called 10 drachmas. This is a special silver coin worth a lot of money back then. And that's her little nest egg. That's her go-to resource. That's the start on the kids' college education, or the start for a down payment on a new house, or the start on some money for a rainy day. And one of them's lost. Out of the 10, one is lost. She's panic stricken, so she searches all day, and finally, like my little ticket, she finally founds it. And then what she says is this, the special coin in my collection was lost. And she goes through the whole neighborhood telling everybody. She's not really all that security conscious, but she's so excited, she just tells everybody, I found my special little coin. And Jesus says, in the same way, all the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner turns back to God. And that leads us to the third and final parable that we're going to be focusing upon. So, the Holy Gospel, according to Luke, the 15th chapter. We be to thee, O Lord. So we've got our Gospel reading, and folks, when you have your parts, just belt it out for us, okay? Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Now Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father,
Father, give me my share of the estate.
So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said,
how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.
So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him.
Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.
But the father said to his servants,
quick, bring the best robes and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fat calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.
So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on.
Your brother has come.
He replied, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father,
look, all these years I've been slaving for son of yours has squandered your property with prophets such as come home. You killed the fat cow for him.
My son,
the father said,
you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours is dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.
This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let's rise and join together in our great confession of faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. You may be seated. It's 4:33. This is why we're not singing along. So, okay, can we back up and start over?
Yes.
Got it? Okay, I'm sorry. It's number 4:33. Glory be to Jesus.
Did the world redeem?
Now, I think y'all know the traditional name for today's parable, right? The parable of the
prodigal
son. I have titled this the parable of the forgiving father. You decide what you like best, but I thought of a third title, and this is really the title that I wish I would have thought earlier to get in the bulletin. Like, I wish I would have put number 433 instead of 427. And it's this: outrage. Outrage! And you know, in our society today, we have so many people outraged about this, that, and the other thing. And let's face it, there are some outrageous things happening. Will you decide if that's a better title? And let's see if you can figure out the most outrageous thing in today's parable, today's gospel reading. Because Jesus is being criticized because he hangs around tax collectors, those no good tax collectors, and the other lowlifes in society, who the NIV puts in quotation marks as sinners, which is a good idea. Because those Pharisees and scribes are way better than that. And how could Jesus put up with it himself? So he decides to tell a story. We talked about the other two, but now the granddaddy parable of them all. And it begins this way. A father had two sons. The younger one said to his father one day, "Father, give me my inheritance, and I want it now." Sound like kids, right? Now, this sounds awful, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That is an outrage. It's outrageous. You want to know why? Because you don't ask for an inheritance when the person's still alive. But this ungrateful, lowlife son of his, the younger son, said basically, in essence, from his actions, saying, "Dad, I want to get lost. I'm sick and tired of being in this house, of living with you and everybody else. I don't like the house. I don't like the family. I don't like the community. I want to go off and make my fortune, but I need your help to help me do that. And quite frankly, I don't have the patience to wait until you die." Now, that would be insulting and outrageous in any culture. But it's even worse in Jewish culture, first century. And when Jesus told this, everyone in the audience was going, "You're kidding, nobody would ever do that." What an outrage for this good-for-nothing, low-life, scum of a son. And do you know what's maybe even more outrageous than that? Instead of giving this son a big talking to and giving him the boot, the left foot of fellowship, "Get lost, you ain't getting nothing, you ungrateful, good-for-nothing kid." Instead, he gives him his inheritance. He gives him a significant amount of money. Now, everybody in the whole village is talking about this because that is absolutely crazy. It's probably never happened before in that context. So, what does the text say that happens after that? He set off for a distant country because he could not get far enough away from his own village, from his own home, his own community that he grew up on. And he goes as far away as he can. And of course, he invested all that money and made himself a triple deluxe millionaire. And he didn't even have to get the $1 million coupon out of the Monopoly thing from Safeway, right? Because he wanted to show everybody how smart he is and what a good money manager he is. And I can give me a little bit, I can make it big. No. What does the text say? He squandered everything in wild living. What was his motto? Party hardy. And that's exactly what he did. Wild living. Everything was shot to smithereens. Well, he was desperate. And what so happened is there weren't many jobs then, because he picked a time when there was a severe famine, a huge food shortage. Water's always a tricky type thing. you know, in the Middle East with that hot climate. But nonetheless, he was so totally desperate, he was going to starve to death. So what he did is he looked for whatever job he could find, and lo and behold, the only one available was working for a pig farmer. Now, as you know, Jews don't eat pig meat. That's one of the worst things you could possibly do, is have a big pork chop or a really nice big BLT. Pork is wrong. But he has to work and take care of pigs because he's so desperate. Now, at this time, Jesus' audience is going, oh, well, that guy got what he deserved, the scum. In fact, he was so destitute, so desperate, that he looked at all, and you know what pigs eat, right? Leftover junk. Anything, basically. And he was looking at all this slop and going, man, those pigs are eating better than I am. That's pretty sick. So finally, after all this time, he came to his senses, being utterly degraded. And again, I think most people would say he got what he deserved. His just comeuppance, to be sure. He got it pretty quickly and more dramatically than most. But look at what it says in verse 16. He longed to fill his stomach with the pigs were eating. No one gave him anything. And at that point, he came to his senses. And what did he say? Oh, you know, I think I had it better than I thought I did. And even the lowest on the rung of all the hired hands of my father, who had the huge estate, they had it way, 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 way better than I'm having it right now. So what I'm going to do, I'm desperate. This is the best job I could get. And it's pathetic, and I'm pathetic, a total mess. So here's his plan. He knows he's starving to death. Look at verse 18. I'm going to go out, go back to my father, and he rehearsed this. In fact, let's just read his plan together with the rest of verse 18 all the way to verse 20. Okay? Here we go. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. Please. So that's what he had going through his mind, rehearsing exactly what to say. He was going to keep it short and sweet, but he was going to say, I'm sorry, please, I'll do whatever I can. Make me a servant. Make me like the hired hands. I'm willing finally to pull my share. I'll work for anything, just room and board. And it doesn't even have to be that good because you should see where I came from. So that's his plan. And he had done that day after day on his long walk. He had it all rehearsed, ready to go. But while he was still a long way off, lo and behold, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. Do you know why the father saw him on the same road that his son, younger son, took? Because he saw him leave. And when he saw him leave initially, there were tears in his eyes. He was crying, he was weeping. And just seeing his son go off. So what the father did every single day, he'd break out his binoculars, and he'd be looking, I wonder if my son's coming back today. Oh, son, Lord, help my son to come back today. I want to be there for him. He wasn't going, good riddance, that dirty, rotten, ungrateful kid. And lo and behold, the father did see him on a long distance with the binoculars. And you know what he did at that point? He called the local sheriff and said, arrest that crumb, throw him in the hoosegow. No, he didn't say that at all. What the father did, he said, he's here, I'm so excited. And back then, the men wore stuff kind of like my robe. This is an alb, but it's kind of like a robe. And what he did was very undignified. He pulled it up and he ran full bore, full blast to see his hun because he was so excited. Now, this is somewhat outrageous because grown men don't do that sort of thing. In fact, nobody really runs a society like that, but especially a grown man, but especially a pillar in the community. It's very, 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 very undignified. And then he runs to him, not to lambast him at all, not to criticize him, not to let him, you know, the two-hour-long lecture. Parents, do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. That you give the kid who really deserves it. So he's running. He catches up. He gets the son. The son's going, oh, here comes dad running. Boy, am I in for it now, and I deserve it. I'm going to take my medicine. So the son starts on what he rehearsed. Father, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against God, and I'm against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And he's ready to talk about the hired hand part, where he can at least work back some of his favor and get into dad's good graces by at least proving that I have learned something and I'm willing to work, start from the bottom, and maybe I could move up, and all I want is, but I want to earn it and make it and so forth and so forth. And you know, dad interrupts him. He doesn't let him get to the part where he says, I want to be your hired hand to earn myself back into your good graces. Instead, and the servants finally caught up with him, quick, here's what I want you to do. Give him that special robe. The special robe? Yeah, the special robe in the special room. And that room that was specially constructed by above all roofing and general construction. Oh, that one. And gave him the special signet ring. And then said, also, you know that special fatted calf that's in the special fenced off area that was also made by above all roofing and general construction? They're going, yeah. What do you want to do with the special fatted calf that's in the special fencing by above all roofing and general construction? What are you going to do with that? I want you to get that calf and we're going to have the biggest, the best barbecue bash ever. Because my son is here. We're throwing the biggest party, the biggest feast for this son of mine. And that's what happened. And everybody heard about it and they can't believe it. They go, what's going on with that father? But that kid finally came. I knew he was a dirty, rotten kid, and he's finally back, mooching off dad. But the thing is, dad's so excited, and everybody starts to get into it. They hired the best musicians, they got music going, everybody's dancing and eating up a storm. The fatted calf with all the trimmings, you know, specially catered. It was really yummy, even better than a Lutheran potluck, if you could imagine that. This is the creme de la creme of them all. And while this is going on, and who's the special guest of honor? Everybody's celebrating. It's that good-for-nothing prodigal son. And then the older son has been out in the fields working, doing his due diligence and so on and so forth. Comes back, getting ready to come back home. What's going on with why all the rocket? I hear a bunch of music. It sounds like people are dancing because there goes Fred Hinkelmeyer again, and he's overdoing it on the dancing and doing the whole limbo thing, and everybody's going crazy and everything else. And then he says, one of the servants say, what in the world is going on? Why the big bash? You aren't going to believe this, but your younger brother came home and your dad is throwing the party of all parties. The biggest feast, the greatest bash I've ever seen in my entire life. Now, think about the older son. If you're the older son and you hear about the big bash and your younger brother's come back, wouldn't you say something like this? You mean my younger brother is back? I haven't seen him for so long. I love him so much. He's coming back. Oh, how exciting. Oh, I love that guy and I miss him so much. Please, I gotta hurry up and get in there and meet him and greet him. We're gonna have hugs and I'm gonna join in the party like everybody else, like Dad wants me to, I'm sure, that Dad set up and everything else. How cool is that? This is the best day of my life. Seeing my younger brother back home, finally. That's the reaction that would be, he's back. Because we're a family in love. We love each other. Well, we don't always get along, but we love each other. But instead, do you know what that stinker does? He throws a tantrum himself. And I'm going into the party. That good for nothing, brother. I'm not going in, and I'm going to stay out here, and I'm going to look as grumpy and mad as I possibly can the whole time. Because that younger brother got what he deserved. And how dare he come back with us? Should have stayed where he was at. So here's what happened. Now that's outrageous. Because he's disrespecting his father. He obviously doesn't love his son to see, or his younger brother to see him come back. The guy's being a complete jerk and mean. And everybody's now talking not about the prodigal who was so bad, the younger son who did all these bad things. This is totally shameful to do. Anywhere, but especially in first century Palestine. It was so offensive because what commandment is so important that he's clearly violating? Honor your father and your mother, and he's dishonoring his father. And in essence, disrespecting his father by not joining in the celebration gleefully. It got so bad that Dad, who was the host of the whole wild bash, had to leave. Now, everybody noticed Dad leaving. And of course, the music stopped playing. Somebody said, oh, you better start that music back up. Don't stop playing that music. But all the dancing stopped. And everybody went and tried to hear what was going on. Let's face it, it's too good to find out what's going on now. And the son says this, how dare you, Father, break out the fatted calf for that lowlife, dirty, rotten scoundrel of a son who left us high and dry? He's got a little bit of truth there. And you know what? And he adds this, did you notice? I have been slaving. I've been working myself like a dirty dog every single year. I, your pert near perfect son, you haven't even, during that whole time, you haven't even, I'm not even asking for the fatted calf, you haven't taken some little piddly goat and let me have a bash with my friends. That's what he says. I've been treated like dirt by you all these years, slaving away. Well, who's more outrageous? The prodigal son or the older brother? In Jewish culture of the day, they would have said, well, they're both really awful, unbelievably outrageously awful. But what that older son said to his dad is way worse. That's a bigger outrage. But I'm here to tell you today that what is the biggest outrage of all is not the prodigal, the younger son. It's not that self, because he's selfish. It's not the extremely self-righteous Mr. Perfect older brother, though his outrage is worse than the first one. The most outrageous, the greatest outrage is the father. It's because he's way too compassionate. He's way too loving. He's way too forgiving. He cares so much that he's willing to forgive and restore anyone, whether son number two or son number one. And why is that? Because he loves them. Now, do you see the picture here that Jesus is painting? And the Father obviously represents the Heavenly Father who loves us with an everlasting love. And we never will get our just deserts. But even more subtly, it refers to Jesus. Because he sacrificed his entire reputation. And this is what the Father did here in the city, in the town. He sacrificed his reputation. He gave everything he had out of love, out of compassion. And my friends, I propose to you today that that is the greatest outrage here. Is the love of the Father, and yes, the love of Jesus, who would suffer in his reputation, die on that cross, shed his blood for the likes of you and me. And sometimes you might feel like a prodigal. Sometimes you might feel like a stuck-up, self-righteous older brother, like the Pharisees and scribes. But what levels us all is the love of God the Father and his dear Son Jesus Christ and the power of the cross and the empty tomb. And when someone comes to saving faith in Christ, even the biggest lowlife imaginable, he didn't get his just comeuppance. You and I better not have stinking thinking, bad attitude, because that's outrageous. But instead, be like those angels in heaven, all of heaven, rejoicing when someone's life is turned around by the love of God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the most precious gospel. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this powerful chapter, Luke 15. And let it all the more be a part of who we are individually and corporately as a community of faith. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us now give unto the Lord who loves us so much. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
But we also want to pray for those who
who are traveling. I know Larry and Bonnie who've taken off earlier. And I do pray for my daughter, for grandkids, and others who are traveling. Lord, we ask that you bless them, watch over them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And Lord, we have so many other requests. But for now, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us now pray as our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace.
Amen.
Go back to hymn number 420, Christ the Life of All the Living. Rise and sing together verses 5 through 7. So glad that you joined us today. It was a little different than usual, but there we are. Do we have other announcements we'd like to share? I know we've got our Lenten service, and this is our fifth one coming up this Wednesday. We've got one more after that of the Wednesday service, and we're going through, as we all know, Psalms during Bible class, supposedly, and then Wednesdays for sure, so feel free to come and join us. That begins at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then if you like, we have that together, and then we go out to a restaurant for those who want to go out to a restaurant and get to know each other and chit-chat and try try not to get too carried away during lunch. But Janet, you got to watch it. You're just getting way too audacious out there during lunch. Oh, definitely. No, we have a really fun time. It's been really neat, all of us chit-chatting together and everything else. All right, any other announcements that we have? Brenda.
If anyone would like Pastor to visit them or visit him in his office, call and leave a message on the phone here, and he'll get back to you within the week. Wednesday is our last day to collect things for an Easter box for the Howland family. They have 4 children, and for Ashley and Caleb Chase as well. Their ages are in the paper here. Please pick up your calendar for April. We're still accepting people signing up to be greeters, and we really appreciate when you do that. It's in the narthex. Elder Mel is putting off their weekly meetings until after Easter. And we have, on the 11th, we have Elder Mel monthly meeting and the church council meeting.
Great.
In April.
Super. Thank you so much.
And please stay. We've got cookies and fruit.
Yes, we've got snacks afterwards. Come and join us. Stick around. Again, chit-chat. Get to know everybody. I will give you an update on the Psalms book that we're getting printed. I checked the email today, and Pioneer Printing has a sample copy ready. So I'm planning. I've got a chiropractor's appointment tomorrow here in town, so at Dr. Schoen. So I'm going to head over and check that out at Pioneer and see if it's ready to give the go-ahead to print out those copies of Psalms. Because for those of you who are visiting and new, we have been getting blitzed in the book of Psalms during this Lenten season. And wouldn't everybody agree who's been soaking in the Psalms that it is a blessing to really and get some tips on how to get the most out of the Psalms? I've just been eating up royally. It's been wonderful to just see God's Word do a good work in our lives. All right. Lord bless and have a great week in our Lord Jesus.
Amen.